Chapter 28. Ladies and gentlemen, it is customary for the general manager to introduce the distinguished guest who presents our special service awards. Last week, in tragic circumstances, our general manager, Mr. Frank Lemmer, was killed in the company's service, a loss which we all bitterly regret, and I am sure you all join me in sincere condolence to Mrs. Eileen Lemmer. Rod paused for the acknowledging murmur from his audience. There were 200 of them, packed into the Mine Club Hall. It falls upon me, therefore, as acting general manager, to introduce to you Dr. Manfred Steiner, who is a senior director of Central Rand Consolidated, our parent company. He is also head of the Departments of Finance and Planning. Sitting beside her husband, Theresa Steiner had noticed Manfred's irritation at Rod's mention of Frank Lemmer. It was company policy not to draw public attention to accidental death or injury inflicted on employees by the company's operation. She liked Rod the better for his small tribute to Frank Lemmer. Theresa was wearing sunglasses, for her eyes were swollen and red. In the dawning, after a sleepless night, she had succumbed suddenly to a fit of bitter weeping. The tears were without cause or reason, and had left her feeling strangely light-headed, and with a brittle sense of well-being. However, her enormous eyes always showed up badly for hours after she had wept. She sat with her legs demurely crossed, immaculate in a suit of cream shantung, a black silk scarf catching her hair and then letting it fall in a dark, glossy brown cascade onto her shoulders. She leaned forward in polite attention to the speaker, one elbow on her knee, her chin cupped in her palm, one long, tapered finger lying against her cheek. A lady with diamonds on her fingers and pearls at her throat, smiling an acknowledgement at Rod's reference to the lovely granddaughter of our chairman. Except for the slight incongruity of the sunglasses, she was the perfect image of the young matron, polished, poised, cosseted, secure in her unassailable virtue and duty. However, the thoughts that were running through Theresa Steiner's head and the flutterings and sensations that were prickling and tickling her, had they been known, would have broken up the assembly in disorder. All the formless fantasy and emotional disturbance of the previous night were now directed at one target, Rodney Ironsides. Suddenly, with a start of amusement and alarm, she was aware of a phenomenon that she had last experienced many years ago. She moved quickly, shifting her seat, for the cream shantung marked so easily with any moisture. Terry Steiner, she thought, deliciously shocked at herself, and found with relief that Rod had finished speaking and Manfred was standing up to reply. She joined in the applause enthusiastically to distract her errant fancy. Manfred briefly mentioned the six gentlemen sitting in the front row of seats, whose courage and devotion to duty they had come to honour. He then went on into an exploration of the prospects of an increase in the price of gold. In measured, carefully considered terms, he set out the advantages and benefits that would accrue to the industry, the nation, and the world at large. It was an erudite and convincing dissertation, and there was a large contingent of newspaper men to record it. The press had been alerted by the Public Relations Department of CRC to the text of Dr. Steiner's speech, and all the leading dailies, weeklies, financial gazettes, and journals were represented. At intervals, a photographer would come to crouch below the platform and pop a flashbulb up at Dr. Steiner. On the eve of the gold price talks with France, this would make good copy, for Steiner was the boy genius in the South African team. The six heroes sat uncomfortably, forlorn in their best suits, scrubbed like schoolboys at a prize-giving ceremony, staring up at the speaker, not understanding a single word of the foreign language, but maintaining expressions of grave dignity. Rod caught Big King's eye and winked at him. Solemnly, Big King's right eyelid drooped and rose in reply. And quickly, Rod averted his gaze to prevent himself laughing out loud. He looked straight into Theresa Steiner's face, taking her completely off her guard. Not even the dark glasses could conceal her thoughts. They were as clear as if she had spoken them aloud. Before she could drop her eyes to examine the hem of her skirt, Rod knew with a stomach swoop of excitement how it could be if he chose. With a new awareness, he examined her from the corner of his eye, seeing her for the first time as an accessible woman, a highly desirable woman, but nevertheless still the granddaughter of Harry Hirschfeld and the wife of Manfred Steiner. This made her as dangerous as a Force 10 pressure burst, he knew. But the desire and temptation was hard to deny, inflamed, perhaps rather than dampened, by the danger. He saw then that she was blushing now, her fingers picking nervously at the hem of her skirt. She was as agitated as a schoolgirl. She knew he was watching her. Rod Ironsides, who until 5 minutes before had been thinking of nothing but his speech, now found himself impelled into a completely new and exciting dimension. After the awards had been made, tea had been drunk, biscuits consumed, and the crowd had dispersed, Rod escorted the Steiners down across the vivid green lawns of Kikuyu grass to where the chauffeur was holding the Daimler. "What a magnificent physique that Shangaan has. What was his name? King?" Terry was walking in between the two men. "King Nkulu. Big King, we call him." Rod found his speech unsteady. He had stuttered slightly. This thing between the two of them was suddenly overpowering. It hummed like a turbine, making the space between them crackle with tension. Unless he were deaf, Manfred Steiner must be aware of it. "He is pretty special," said Rod. "There's nothing he can't do, and do it far and away better than his nearest rival. My God, you should see him dance." "Dance?" inquired Terry with interest. "Tribal dancing, you know." "Of course." Terry hoped the relief in her voice was not obvious. She had been racking her badly flustered brains for an excuse to visit the Sonder Ditch again, or have Rod Ironsides come to Johannesburg. "I have a friend who is absolutely mad keen on seeing the dances. She pesters me every time I see her." Quickly she selected a name from her list of friends. She must have one ready, should Manfred ask. "They dance every Saturday afternoon. Bring her out any time." Rod fielded the ball neatly. "What about this Saturday?" Terry turned to her husband. "Would that be all right, Manfred?" "What's that?" Manfred looked at her vaguely. He had not been following the conversation. Manfred Steiner was a worried man. He was pondering his obligation to gain control of the management of the Sonder Ditch within 2 days. "May we come out here on Saturday afternoon to watch the tribal dancing?" Terry repeated her request. "Have you forgotten that I fly to Paris on Saturday morning, Theresa?" "Oh, dear." Terry bit her lip thoughtfully. It had slipped my mind. What a pity, I would have enjoyed it. Manfred frowned slightly, irritated. My dear Teresa, there is no reason why you shouldn't come out to the Sonder Ditch without me. I am sure you will be safe enough in Mr. Ironside's hands. His choice of words brought the colour to Terry's cheeks again.